This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we are engaging in some serious family life this week.
Oh, we are. We are at our annual writing retreat, which means lots of hammock time and reading novels, and because we're going to get busy on writing next week. But this week, we're resting because we've had a very busy year.
It has been, yes. We spent about 8 weeks straight on the road. And actually, if you count some out and back events, I think we spent 13 weekends in a row doing a conference or going to a graduation or catering a wedding or something. And it was a very busy spring.
It was crazy busy, and we are so tired. And so we've been lying around in the hammock and swimming and
catching up on some reading.
Yeah. We try to find like one or two new authors every summer. Mm-hmm. And then we order a bunch of books from Thrift Books, really cool place, y'all. And they meet us there, and then we just do nothing but like read and drink lemonade and swim and fun stuff.
Well, you know, rest is an appropriate thing. It's something, I mean, even Jesus took time off to rest.
And yeah, we need it.
We do need it. We do need it to recharge because we have a lot of projects underway. We got a lot of things planned for the fall, and we'll tell you some more about those as we go along. But you have any other fluff we want to throw in here before we start into our content?
Well, I do want to say we're about to start writing a new book, and we've got it down to a couple of three ideas. Mm-hmm. So now is the time. If you want to tell us, hey, I really, really want you to write about this topic.
Subject X.
Now's the time. Because we're debating which one to start writing next. So
how should they contact us?
They can comment right here, or if they're listening on the podcast on iTunes or halmelania.com/radio,
yep.
You can just send us an email.
Mm-hmm.
You can send us a social media message on any of our social media places.
Right.
But tell us what you want us to write about, because we've got to decide like this week what we're going to write about.
Right.
And so.
Well, I tell you what, this week we want to talk about one of the scariest moments in our parenting experience.
No kidding.
One of the most absolutely upsetting, worrisome, frightening, disquieting things that ever happened to us as a parent.
Nauseating.
And so, do we want to tell them about this?
Yeah. So, I was driving down the road, and our oldest son, maybe he was 9, I think, our oldest son, who we had prayed for since he was inside, and at 7, he's playing, you know, that he's John the Baptist and he's quoting the Ten Commandments and he's talking about how he loves Jesus.
Oh, we taught him the catechism. We taught him all sorts of hymns. I mean, we were doing the Christian parenting thing up one side, down the other. It was awesome.
So I'm driving down the road,
mm-hmm.
and he says, Mom. I said, what, honey? He said, I think I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
I about drove into the ditch. What do you mean you think you're an atheist? What?
Well that was, I mean, when you think he's what, he was 9.
I think he was
you
9.
Think you're 9 years old, you mean you've poured yourself into this individual child. You have invested so much prayer, so much effort, so much concern and worry and just really wanted to do everything just right. And then for him to announce it, you know, to make an announcement like that at 9, you feel like, well, I'm not 10 years into this and I'm already a failure.
Yeah, very much. And you know, for what we didn't know then, is it is very typical for preteens to go through a time of spiritual doubts. For some of our kids, it was at 9. For some, it was that's really early. For some, mm-hmm. it was 11. For others, it was 13, 14. But in that first couple of years of puberty, which typically hits during the preteen years,
right.
but usually sometime between 8 and 14,
mm-hmm.
during those first couple of years of puberty, it's very, very common for them to wonder if there's a God and how do we know there's a God and, mm-hmm. you know, do I even believe? Am I a Christian? Even these kids that seemed so solid just a few years before that.
That is one of the things that's very offsetting because, you know, a lot of kids, we get to, you know, a lot of kids, they get to 5 or 6 years old and they make some profession of faith. They want to be, you know, they want to be associated with Christians. They want to follow Jesus. And you're thinking, oh, this is just what we needed. This is just what we were praying for. We were so thankful. Oh, this is awesome. And then, you know, 3 years later, huh? What?
What?
Where did that come from? I thought, yeah. You know, I thought we settled this when you were in the first grade. How could you possibly be?
I thought it was taken care of.
We thought we didn't have to worry any longer. And
now you're having to worry. Because, you know, there's a lot going on. Now, you know, as we talk about in our parenting preteen session, some of you have heard us do that at different conferences. Look here, babe.
Sure.
And at some of you have heard at our boot camp 9 to 12, there's a lot of change going on in these kids.
There's a good reason that these things happen. And, you know, yes, you want to always be concerned about your kids, but you don't need to be in a panic about it when it's something that is predictable and something that is explainable and something that you maybe can take some positive action about.
Well, that's the hope, you know, that this is a very important time. Let's talk about some of what's causing it.
Okay.
So they're going through a lot of emotional change because they're full of these hormones.
Well, that maybe we should back up a little bit because, see, that was something that caught us by surprise as well. Because we, you know, everybody talked about, oh, the terrible twos and the toddler years and what an awful time that is. And then they said, oh, but the teenagers, oh, my word, you can't wait until they're teenagers. But everything else was, you know, people were quiet about. It was like, well, if you can make it through the toddler years and if you can just hang on and survive the teenage years, then at least they'll be out of your home and you'll be able to rest again. And nobody told us of all the stuff that was going to happen when they were preteens, when they were 9, 10, 11, when they were middle schoolers.
Yeah, because see, you're kind of braced for, okay, when they start getting whiskers and they get a figure and they're going to be hormonal and they're going to act like crazy people. But what nobody tells you is that actually all that starts before the physical changes.
Yeah, the physical changes
don't... The hormones cause the physical changes.
Right. You've got to have a long-term exposure to a lot of hormones to make the radical changes that happen to our kids as they enter puberty. And what happens when you get a great big rush of hormones? You get, you know, a little crazy in the head. Things, you know, you start to...
to put it mildly.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of weird things happen inside. You get all kinds of emotional things going on. You get mental things going on.
Well, one of the things that happens emotionally is... they're just on this huge emotional roller coaster. You know, they get angry for no reason. They get weepy for no reason. And it'll drive you crazy, folks. I mean, it really will. It'll drive you insane. The good news is that if you can get through this time period with your relationship with them intact, for us, the teen years got better and better.
Which was a great relief because everybody told us, oh, you just wait. You know, and we didn't realize.
I think the preteens are the hardest time to parent. If you do it right, and if you have a, if you blow it, then the teens become even harder.
Right, you know? Right. And so we want to give you some hope and also some encouragement about this time period. But, you know, all of this stuff going on, it was that spiritual thing which was really
thing, I think, is caused because they've got this emotional stuff going on, but they also have intellectual changes going on.
It's kind of like when they get to be 5 or 6, they go through an intellectual upgrade, if you will, and it's like now they can understand, they have object permanence, you know, so they understand if mama leaves the room, mama didn't leave the planet. She's coming right back. And so when they get to 5 or 6, it's like they say, oh, there's just like, the physical people that I see can leave the room and come back and they still exist. There are people who I can't see that actually exist. So God is real. Jesus is real. Angels are real. Heaven is a real place. I just can't see it yet. And it's like at 5 or 6, they first understand that and they start to, you know, they reach out sometimes. They say, hey, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of Jesus' family. I want to be part of God's kingdom. You know, and so... you know, and all the Christian parents say amen and they rejoice.
Yeah.
And yet when they get to be 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever, when that hormonal rush hits and their brain starts making other changes again, that's when it's like they say, well, wait a minute, maybe my parents aren't always right.
Because
maybe there is a different way to look at this.
Well, because now they're able to analyze things. Mm-hmm. They're able to think more logically. They don't have very much experience, so their logic doesn't always make sense. But they are able to think more logically and analyze things. And so now they realize, okay, well, these other people believe differently than mom and dad. And those people believe differently than mom and dad. And these people say there's no God. How do I never really know there is a God?
Mm.
And they start asking questions. And I'll tell you what, it is super easy to panic.
That's understandable. Ask me how I know. That's, of course it is. Because we've been there. And
been there. Have
panicked. I suspect a lot of parents have been there or are right in the middle of it right yeah. now. And so...
Well, this is super important to us. I mean, let's be real. The most important thing to me is that mm-hmm. my children walk with God. And to have this child look back at you and say, I don't know, is scary.
Yeah, it is.
It's super scary. It is,
because you feel like, man, I've just dropped the ball. I've just failed at the primary reason that I'm a parent.
But this is normal. It's normal for them to go through asking these questions,
mm-hmm.
wondering, you know, is there really a God? What should I be doing? You know, what should I be believing? It's normal. And the thing is, it's a critical time.
Well, we were looking at the results of the Gen 2 survey a couple of years ago. It was a study, and it's a very interesting study, of nearly 10,000 young adults yeah. who were raised in the church. These were church kids from all different denominations. About half of them were homeschooled, because it started out as a study of homeschoolers, and then in the middle of the study, they said, you know what, let's cast the net a little further. Let's see what the rest of the world looks like, too. And so it's about half homeschoolers and about half a mix of public schoolers, private schoolers, charter schoolers, you know, other educational venues. And so it's a good cross-section. And one of the things that they found confirms what other pollsters have said, and that is that the fastest-growing self-identification of the millennial generation, when they ask you, well, what are your religious beliefs? What's your denominational affiliation? They say none. They wow. call themselves the nuns. They're not a member yeah. of a church. They're atheist, agnostic, they undecided, they don't know. And so that's a large, you know, a large group within the millennial generation. Well, the surveyors, the people who did the study, went to that group and they asked, okay, now you were a church kid. You were raised going to church, going to Sunday school, hearing about Jesus, hearing about the Bible. At what point did you start to turn away? And they said, a vast number of them said, you know, it was when I was in middle school that I first started to question this.
And the ones that didn't say middle school said high school. And, you know, we see that anecdotally, too. Mm-hmm. Like our friend Carol Barnier, we interviewed her for the podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she was a pastor's daughter, and she said she started having doubts in middle school, but she was afraid to say anything.
Well, Daddy could lose his job.
Yeah, I mean, Mama would just die. Yeah. And she didn't say anything. She kept that to herself. And then she got up to be in college age, and she found mm-hmm. people had answers. They were the wrong answers.
Right.
And she actually became a card-carrying atheist for like 12 years yeah. before she came to Christ. But this is a critical time. It's a time when that perfect storm of emotional change and intellectual change brings them to doubt. But see, the cool thing is that this is a time that they can make their faith their own. This is when they can develop an adult faith. It's really cool because if you can help them work through those doubts and find the right answers and solidify their faith, then this preteen time can be a time that they can build an adult faith they can rely on for the rest of their lives.
You know, a couple of things. You mentioned Carol Barney and her situation, and I think, you know, one of the things that we have to be very concerned about is, you know, she started to have doubts. She didn't feel free to ask the questions of her parents or anybody else. And yet, she knew how to behave. She knew how to wear yeah. the jersey and play the game and speak the language. And she just fit right in with the youth group. I mean, she was just the pastor's daughter. There was nothing that said, by the way, this is an agnostic in our midst. She just blended right in because she understood how to play that game. And you know what? Our kids being raised up in the church, going to youth group, going to Sunday school, being in all those activities, they know how to play the game too. And we need to take that into account and recognize, you know, everything, if everything looks good, it may not all be good.
Well, you know what? We had some kids that fooled us that way. We had a couple of kids who didn't ask those questions, who didn't evidence any doubts. And then, you know, when they were 16, 17, I'm like, hey, talk to me about how's your spiritual life going? And they're like, I'm not sure, I'm a Christian. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah, and it's important, I think, to point that out, that these are good kids. They weren't, like, smoking pot at age 10. You know, they weren't like running around and staying out all night or anything. I mean, they were good, well-behaved, mannerly, respectful kids who had a serious spiritual problem.
Now, in just a second, we're going to talk about what do you do with a child who doesn't ask questions and what do you do with those that do. But first, I want to tell you that we are starting a new series of Boot Camp 9 to 12, our online, live online class for parents of preteens. That means like kids about 8 to 14.
Right.
And it's going to be on Thursday nights. It's going to start at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Right.
And it goes for 5 weeks. It's so much fun. The cool thing is that you see us on video and you see our slides.
Right.
And you can ask all your questions.
You can have conversations with other people in the class, too.
It rocks. It really does. It's one of the most popular things we do.
And so we want to encourage you, if you are at all in the middle of this and at all interested in it.
Or worried about it because it's coming. And $15 gets you nearly half off. That's a lot. So, Stephanie, you've got an oldest who's there. I tell you what, we're going through it with our eighth child now. And I told some of our older kids last night, I said, you know what? We're almost there. This is our last one to go through this if I live through it. Wow. It'll drive you crazy. They have these huge meltdowns. Like you say to a child, hey, son, change your shirt. And he gets hysterical. What do you mean, change my shirt? This is my favorite shirt. You'd hate me. You don't love me anymore. You never say things like that to my brothers and sisters. I'm like, what? What is going on with you, child?
So
let's get back to talking about how do you handle it if you have one that doesn't ask questions? First of all, you've got to ask them. You've got to bring up the topic because...
No news is good news. Not true.
Not true.
Not true because like our friend Carol, that, you know, if they know how to say the right things and lie low when there's a little uncertainty in their answer, then they can fly under the radar. And so you just got to assume when they get to this age, they're going to, at least, they may not be skeptics, but they may feel like a little uneasiness.
They're
going to
have questions.
Know. They'll have questions. And
so you bring it up. Well, first of all, you don't panic, okay? If they do bring up questions, you can't panic. Because if you panic, they'll go ask somebody else, and you don't want them to do that.
Yeah, and that's true of so much of parenting, you know, that,
yes.
That when they come to you with an awkward question or an awkward situation, you, the parent, want to be the one dealing with it. You don't want to get so flustered about it.
Yeah, so you got to welcome questions.
Yeah, so welcome those questions.
So when they freak out and say something like, Mom, I think I'm an atheist, you say, you know, well, there are times I doubted whether I was a Christian or not, too. Let's talk about it. That's a great question. How do we know there's a God? That's a fantastic question, honey.
Yeah, and see, it's okay. In fact, you need to practice saying this. You know, I don't know, but let's go find out.
Yes.
Because we don't have to be afraid of these questions. There's nobody that's going to ask any question that is going to make God disappear in a puff of logic. I mean, there's nothing.
No.
Nobody is ever going to ask a question that will destroy the Christian faith.
Well, we have a reasonable faith. We have a faith that can stand examination.
Right.
And so we welcome those questions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't panic. We encourage our kids that thinking is allowed. You know, the Lord said,
thinking's encouraged.
The Lord says, come and let us reason together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when we do that, when we say, hey, yeah, you know what? Let's talk about it. It makes such a difference. And you can just see the anxiety just wash out of them, you know?
And, you know, here's something, too. And boys are particularly prone to this. They may ask a question in a way that sounds like a challenge.
Yes.
You know, boys like to engage an idea and wrestle with it. And they want to find out, you know, how does it fold? How does it bend? Where are the boundaries? You know, they want to prove it out and test it out. And so they might, you know, figuratively put their hands on their hips and say, well, how do you know the Bible's literally true? Well, you know, that's just don't take it as a personal thing. Just take it as that's how they're asking a question in a debating kind of fashion.
Instead, thank God that you found out they were worried about it.
Right.
And so what do? Well, you answer their questions. Now, I know that's a little scary. You may think, I don't know how to answer questions like that. It's okay to say, I don't know, but I know there's an answer. Let's find out. And one good thing to do is to go get some good books to read with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll put these on the blog later, okay?
Yeah.
And so you can just click and go to them. So don't worry about trying to write them down right now. But some that have been really helpful with our kids.
Right.
More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. I remember reading that one in college.
And
it's accessible even to a nine-year-old.
Yeah, even a young teenager can read that and benefit a lot from it. Yeah. Now, Mere Christianity is a great one that I encountered in college as a new convert. And it's a little more it's a little more challenging, a little more philosophical.
It's very philosophical, but our kids, especially at the end of that preteen years, you know, 13 or so, they loved it because that's how they're thinking. And they want to know the answers to all those questions. And C.S. Lewis deals with, how do we know that there's good and evil? How do we know there's a God? You know, how do we know that God is the God of the Christian faith?
How can a good God allow evil to exist? You know,
great the questions.
Hard philosophical questions.
And that he has answers.
There forever. Yes, there you go.
And our kid, I think Mere Christianity impacted every single one of our kids.
Well, it impacted their dad. I know that.
Yeah, it's been a really good one. The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel is really good. You know, these are books that we call apologetics.
Right. That's not saying, well, I hate to bring this up, but I believe in Jesus, and I'm sorry, but that's not what you mean by apology. It's not an apology in the English language sense, but the original term apologia from the Greek means a logical reason defense, like a lawyer would give in a court of law. And so you give, when Paul says that we should always be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within us, was that Paul or Peter? Anyway, when it tells us that we're supposed to do that, it is, you should always be ready to present an apologia for the hope that we have in us. And so apologetics is that science of presenting evidence to believe.
Evidence for belief.
You know, and this is that reason to believe. And this is good stuff, and it's good reading for you if you've never read it yourself.
And this is a good time to engage the whole creation versus evolution debate.
You know, and that's an important thing because you remember Ken Ham, who was the founder, and he's the guiding light at Answers in Genesis, originally started out as an evangelist. He didn't start out to do the science thing at all. He was an evangelist, but he found over and over and over and over again that people that he was sharing the gospel with, they would throw up, well, what about millions of years? What about, do you really believe in a literal flood? What about it? And they throw all this stuff up that was clearly stated in Genesis. So he said, look, if we need to knock down this obstacle so people can't hide behind it anymore. Yeah. You know, you're not going to save them by proving creation, but you can take away one of their objections. And so that's a great thing to do because the culture is swamped in evolution.
It is. And pray with them. You know, I remember the man that Jesus said, you know, I think he was casting a demon out of his daughter. He said, you know, if you have faith, and he says, I believe, help my unbelief.
God. That's right.
And we can teach our kids to pray that, to pray, Lord, I want to trust you. Help me to trust you. Give me the faith to trust you. And so we can pray with them. And we can share our own testimonies, how we came to Christ, how we wrestled through similar questions. You know, I wrestled through a lot of these questions in college.
Yeah, a lot of these things, you know, that we wrestle with as young believers. I mean, after we had committed our lives and our hearts to Christ, and as mature, you know, I would say theoretically mature,
maturing
20-ish young believers, still have to wrestle with some of these questions and say, well, you know, what does grace mean in my life? Well, how do you balance grace and law and the rest of those kind of things? So it's perfectly good, perfectly reasonable to say, hey, it's normal to have questions. It's normal to have things you're unsure about. And there are answers, and I want to help you find those and encourage you with them.
Well, you know, it was interesting how, but I remember reading Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict in college and just being...
Great book.
Oh, wow. I was overwhelmed by all the actual physical evidence there is that what the Bible says is true. And what a relief it was to me. I remember one time when I was in high school, hearing a creationist and evolutionist debate and just feeling great relief because I realized I can be intellectually honest and be a Christian. And we need to help our kids wrestle with those things, even if they're home, even if we're homeschooling them and they're in a great church. The questions don't come because of the world out there, but because the changes are going on in their own hearts. And we need to help them through that and teach them, you know what? It's all right to question. It's all right to ask. There are answers. Let's find them together. Call your pastor. You know, pastors have been through a lot of classes that they don't use, and many of them would be thrilled to be asked some of these questions and to wrestle it through with you and your child, you know?
So and that's a great opportunity. You know, the thing of it is, you can't duck this. You don't want to duck this.
You want to
wrap your arms around it, engage it, because you are in a good fight to encourage, to build up the soul of your child. And this is a normal time when they start questioning these things.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean they've rejected them.
No.
That just means they have questions, and now is a great time because, you know, when they're 5 or 6 and they want to be saved at that time. A lot of that is because my parents are looking forward to this, because my parents really want me to be saved, and they're very proud of me for, you know, for walking after Jesus and reading my Bible, and I want to please my parents. Well, that's a good thing. But when they get to be older, then they've got to make a decision. Am I going to do this when my parents are no longer watching?
Yes, when it's just me.
When I'm no longer required to be in church, when I'm no longer required to avoid certain things and to do others, you know, what am I going to do about that? They've got to make a decision, and this is the time when you're laying the groundwork for that big, important, life-changing choice.
And, you know, we had a couple of kids who didn't express doubts at this age, and I didn't find out till they had doubts till they were 16 or 17. Came to Christ, but this is way easier to work through at 11 than it is at 17. And it's way less scary for you to work through at 11 than it is at 17.
Yes, it is. So,
but what we have found is these kids that deal with these issues at home and work out these topics and develop a mature adult faith, they don't waver. When they get off to college and they're hearing all kinds of stuff, when they get out in the world, our kids haven't wavered because they built that adult faith, a faith that was their own when they were preteens and teens. And that is so worth it. Oh, my word.
Well, you know, one of the things we've heard, and we've experienced this a little bit, is that when they're teaching bank tellers to identify a counterfeit bill, they don't give them counterfeit bills and show up to them. They have handled so much of the real article that when the bogus thing shows up, they say, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. There's something that's not right about this. And they, you know, all the alarms go up. And we got a counterfeit bill one time out of a bank ATM of all places.
Yeah.
But it was something, as soon as you got it, you say, this is not right.
It was very subtle. We couldn't really even identify, but it just didn't feel right. Didn't look right.
And so, see, when you're pouring all of this into your young teenagers and you're giving them God's truth, you're giving them a reasonable defense, you're giving them the encouragement to believe, to trust the Scriptures, to stand on the Scriptures, then when they get the challenge, because the challenges are going to come, whether it's on the radio or TV or in a classroom or in the student lounge or wherever they're going to get those challenges, they may not be able to identify it and wrestle it to the ground, but they can say, this isn't right. I'm not going to follow this because it doesn't smell right. And then they'll figure it out. Then God will guide them on that. You know, one of the things I found really helpful in this, when they ask us these questions that are so disconcerting, is just to pray.
Yeah.
Immediately pray, God.
Say, Father, please help me. Help me know what to say.
I don't know how many times they hit me with a question unexpectedly. I'm not thinking theologically at the moment. I was answering email or something. And as I turn to the Lord and start trying to answer this, God just brings up scriptures. God brings up things, you know, that I've heard before. And I find myself connecting up passages and giving examples and thinking, wow, I didn't know I had all those things inside. Well, maybe I didn't. Maybe that was from God. So I mean, don't be afraid to pray, you know, even at that moment, because what did Jesus say when you're going to be called to give testimony before kings? So don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say then. And
He can tell you what to say with your own child too. So don't be afraid. This is a normal stage they go through, but it is a critical stage for the development of their faith. And the most important thing you can do, besides sharing truth with them, is to have the kind of relationship with them that they listen to you.
That is so hard. Crucial. Because they become difficult.
They become very difficult during the stage.
Sometimes they're not so much fun to be around when they go through this. And
we're out of time for this session.
Right.
But if you want to hear more about this, if you want to deal with this in greater depth, we're starting a new series of our live online class, Bootcamp 9 to 12. It's for parents of preteens. That's like 8 to 14 year olds, okay?
Right.
Parents of preteens, where we're going to be talking about relationship and how can you preserve the relationship through this critical time.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about dealing with the emotional meltdowns they have.
We're talking about the struggles of school.
School becomes so hard during this time.
School becomes very difficult, particularly homeschooling, and there's a reason for that. There's things you can do about it. We'll be talking about that.
We're going to be talking about internet safety and purity and how do you talk to them about sexuality.
Right.
We're going to be talking about helping them to start businesses and entrepreneurship, about coming of age ceremonies, about the transition to adulthood, all kinds of stuff. It's Bootcamp 9 to 12. It starts Thursday night, 8 p.m. It's going to be five
That's
once
August
a week.
August the 10th, is it not?
August the 10th.
August
five
the 10th.
Once a week classes. You can find out about it at raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. If you are watching this and in that time has passed,
if
you can
one of our
jump in.
If you're binge listening through our archives, and we love you for it, you know what? All of these things are available as recordings. And when you sign up for it, if there's not a live class going, we send you the links to the recordings right then. You can get the same information. You just can't ask the questions.
But then you can come to the next live class free.
Yeah.
So anyway, check it out, raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. Mm-hmm. And special coupon, you can use the promo code PODCASTBOOTCAMP,
mm-hmm.
all one word, PODCASTBOOTCAMP, mm-hmm. to get $15 off. And that makes it really, really cheap. So anyway, mm-hmm. we've loved talking to you.
And we got one other thing we need to tell them about. We always want to tell them about, if you appreciate getting this kind of content for free, if you like the fact that you can come out here and you can encourage yourself and encourage your friends and the rest of that kind of stuff, you can help us support it and you can help us keep it going. If you will join into our team on Patreon, PATREON, patreon.com/HalandMelanie. You can sign up here, become a regular supporter, $1 a month, $1 million a month, whatever. Whatever
we
you
appreciate
can kick
you.
At, we appreciate it, and we want you to be on our side.
Now, we're doing a Facebook Live at the same time we're recording this. If you're listening on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you can listen to all of our podcast by checking us out on iTunes,
yes.
or at HalandMelanie.com/radio to listen to our previous podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch out there. We've been doing this for 4 years.
This is episode 177.
Wow.
Lots and lots to listen to. Yeah.
And so he's Hal.
And you're Melanie.
And we'll talk to you next week on Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Thanks for joining us. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.